Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It is Tuesday, September 20th. I'm your host, Eric Steven. The Dodgers have clinched a bye into the National League Division Series. We knew it was coming. Monday was the earliest day they could have done it, entering the week, and they did it. They beat the Diamondbacks on Monday night, and they, with 102 wins, they clinched a better record than the Cardinals, who are currently the NL's division leader with the third best record, so that ensures the Dodgers will be among the top two seeds in the National League. So that means no wild card round. Their first two games in the NLDS are at home, October 11th and 12th. As of right now, the Dodgers can still are in good position to also clinch the number one seed in the National League. Their magic number over the Mets there is six. And then for home field advantage, the Astros have been winning a ton over in the American League. On Monday, they clinched the American League West and a bye into the ALDS. But the Dodgers do have a lead over the Astros, a pretty good size lead, especially with only a little over 2 weeks left in the season. The Dodgers' magic number, should they tie and meet in the World Series, is 10. So that's to ensure a better record than the Astros. Houston, like I said, clinched playoff spot Monday. So did the Mets. The Mets have not won the division yet. They're in a fight with Atlanta. Those are the only three teams, along with the Dodgers. So Dodgers, Astros, Mets, to have clinched playoff spots already. But yeah, that's where we're at. 102-44. For the Dodgers, it seems very weird to say. Still, their winning percentage as of right now is .699. Clayton Kershaw was very good again. He struck out 10 in six innings. He only allowed a run. He struck out five in a row at one point. 19 swinging strikes on the night. Very good outing. Since returning from the injured list, he's only allowed four runs in four starts over 24 innings. That's a .150 ERA with 29 strikeouts. After that three-walk first inning in New York in his very first start back off the injured list, he has only one walk in his last 23 innings. He didn't walk anyone on Monday night. So, yeah, we've talked about this before. It's pretty clearly Urias and Kershaw for games one and two in the postseason, and the Dodgers sort of figuring it out after that. The Dodgers were backed by some offense from two players who have been struggling the last month and a half or so. Joey Gallo hit a home run that might not have landed yet. It was one of those comically Paul Bunyan type home runs. So there were two things that were funny about this. One, I didn't catch this until later, but at the stadium, and you could see this on the replay, the home run sort of animation over the video boards and all that kind of stuff was already started seemingly before the ball was in position to clear the fence, but it was hit so high and so far. It went over halfway up the pavilion into that sort of that open spot now that people can sort of walk through and sort of stand at times, part of the renovations out there. But it was hit very far. It was measured at 437 feet, and this was in the second inning. And it seemed much farther than that. But the other great thing about it was Joe Davis' call. I can't remember. I'll talk about it after the call, but this was Joe Davis calling the home run on Sportsnet LA.
Wow! Oh my! Whoa! Joey Gallo, way gone!
So you can hear the giddiness and the awe in Joe Davis' voice at the home run. Like, he was so amazed by it, and rightfully so. It was a tape measure shot. That's one thing. Joey Gallo has had a terrible year, no bones about it. But the reason people keep him around is because, well, usually he walks. He hasn't really walked that much this year, but also because every once in a while he can hit the absolute crap out of the ball. And this was one of those cases. The one call I can certainly remember of Joe Davis that was more giddy than this was the Hyunjin Ryu home run in 2019 when Joe Davis' call was, "It happened!" It was just one of the great calls. Chris Taylor, who's also been struggling, but hitting the ball better in the last week or so, added a three-run shot that bounced off the top of the short wall in left field and then off a fan's chest, it looked like, on the replay, and that was initially ruled a double but called a home run. That was a four-run inning against Merrill Kelly. Merrill Kelly, five starts against the Dodgers this year, 8.25 ERA, five losses. In 25 starts against everyone else, 2.38 ERA, and 12-2. So, yeah, the Dodgers kind of do that sometimes. They were up 5-1 entering the ninth when Wild Craig Kimbrell is back, and he struck again. He allowed a leadoff single, then hit two batters to load the bases with nobody out. Then Sergio Alcantara, who had a walk-off home run against Kimbrell last Wednesday in Arizona, he pinch hit, and he had a 99.5-mile-an-hour smash nearly up the middle. It was scooped on a dive by Gavin Lux. He tossed a second for one, and then Trey Turner alertly threw the third to get another out. It was very confusing at the time, and it possibly looked confusing on the field, too, because the way Max Muncy was sort of positioned at third, like, it seemed like they thought it might be a triple play. I guess Angel Hernandez signaled pretty quickly, but it depends on what you're watching at the time. It looked like Lux may have caught it, but upon replay, he clearly didn't, and he knew it too. But anyway, they got two outs. A run did score on the play, a 4-6-5-6 double play that you don't see often, but it did knock the wind out of the Diamondbacks' sails. I will say, so Craig Kimbrell has pitched the last two nights, and the Dodgers have a doubleheader. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but they rarely use guys 3 days in a row, and, you know, he's been not the best in his last few outings, so I think it's safe to say he's probably going to sit out the doubleheader on Tuesday. So, yeah, but anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about that doubleheader and what's ahead after the break. So it's a hell of a year for a couple pitchers picked in the first round in the 2006 draft, a couple three-time Cy Young Award winners, a couple future Hall of Famers. We talked about Kershaw and his great outing, 10 strikeouts and 6 innings on Monday. Max Scherzer one-upped him a little bit. He only struck out 9 in his 6 innings, but he was perfect in Milwaukee. This was Scherzer's first game off the injured list for the Mets. He missed 2 weeks with left oblique irritation. He had also missed a month and a half earlier in the season with a strain of that same left oblique, so they were being cautious with him and pulled Max Scherzer out of a perfect game, which gives him another thing in common this season with Kershaw, who was pulled April 13th in Minnesota. Must be something about the Midwest air. Kershaw was perfect through 7 in his first start, and you know the story there. Barely threw all offseason after the elbow injury last year. Shortened spring training, wasn't built up at all. He got to 5 innings in a simulated game once, so they weren't going to push him past the 7 innings. And, you know, at the time, obviously, it was a bummer, but I think any sort of animus I might have had for the decision kind of faded when it seemed very clear both that day and the day after that Kershaw was okay with the decision and he sort of knew where they were at. However, not perfectly comparable. I would say given the timing in the season, Scherzer's game seemed more like the Rich Hill game in 2016 in Miami, when Hill was pulled after 7 perfect innings. In 2016, excuse me. Hill dealt with blisters for like a month and a half that year after the Dodgers acquired him. And that game was in September, and they very much needed Hill to be ready in the postseason, so they weren't going to push him. So back to the three Cy Young winners, 2006 draftee stuff. Both Kershaw and Scherzer have spent two stints on the injured list this year, but when they've been on the mound, they've been excellent. Scherzer through Monday is second in the National League with a minimum of 100 innings with a 2.15 ERA in his 21 starts. Kershaw's at fifth at 2.39 in his 19 starts. It would just be nice to line up these perfect outings when either of the pitchers aren't limited by a recent injury. That would be great. Should note on that ERA list, Tony Gonsolin, who he's at 2.10, leads the list. Julio Urias is 2.27 in third. Urias also leads the NL among qualified pitchers in ERA. Tyler Anderson is 8th at 2.62. That sure sounds like a recipe for barely allowing any runs and winning about 70% of the games. So the Dodgers will try to get over that 700 winning percentage mark on Tuesday with a doubleheader. It's their third of the season. This is the second against Arizona. It was part of the rescheduled first week of the season that was canceled by the lockout. There was a series against the Diamondbacks and a series against the Rockies. The Rockies series got pushed to the extra 3 days over the last week of the season. That created a weird six-game series against the Rockies, but that's over 6 days. The current Dodgers series with Arizona is 5 games over 4 days. The Dodgers have swept their two previous doubleheaders this year. One was a rain makeup at Wrigley Field in Chicago on May 7th. The other was May 17th against these D-backs at Dodger Stadium. In the first game, Michael Grove versus Zach Davies, and then that's a nooner, a 12-10 start. And the nightcap is at 7:10. It's a split doubleheader. So if you're going, you have to buy two tickets. Tyler Anderson is coming off paternity leave to start that game. And Dre Jameson is going for the Diamondbacks, making his second major league start. So a lot of baseball today. The Dodgers are, it's going to be a little bit before they can clinch the number one seed and potentially also best record in baseball. But it's something they can do. They do have some time to do it with 16 games left on the schedule. That's all we got for today. Hope you enjoy two games, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.